Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And as just about all of you know, at least you should, yesterday was the Iowa caucuses. No one happier about the results, including Rick Santorum, than our own Jim Garrity, that we can move on to New Hampshire now, Jim. And an actual primary. We'll be talking about some of the additional peculiarities of the Iowa caucuses in just a moment. But the good martini, and this is not necessarily an endorsement by either one of us, but the good martini is that persistence pays off. Retail campaigning pays off. Even though Rick Santorum clearly didn't have the most money in this race, he didn't get the most media attention in this race, he just did it the old-fashioned way. He went to all 99 counties, which is kind of a cliche in Iowa, but he did it. He mentioned 381 town hall events or speeches in his address to his supporters last night. In the end, he lost by eight votes. But here's Rick Santorum thanking the people of Iowa.
You, by standing up and not compromising, by standing up and being bold and leading with that burden and responsibility you have to be first, you have taken the first step of taking back this country.
So, Jim, for a guy who barely qualified for a couple of the debates along the way, coming in essentially tied with Mitt Romney has got to feel pretty good for him. And it's a good story about how work actually pays off.
It is. I mean, whether or not you love Rick Santorum or you can't stand the thought of him, I think you have to love a guy who does not have a heck of a lot of money, does not have a heck of a lot of advantage. Know-it-all pundits like myself are dismissing him for much of the year, and he goes out and he meets enough people and you know, shakes enough hands and makes enough of a personal connection to come oh so close to winning this thing. And Greg, if he just shook eight more hands, imagine how this could have turned out. But, no, this is kind of a nice little story of how effort can pay off. I think I see a lot of parallels to Mike Huckabee, and the 2008 campaign did not turn out quite the way Mike Huckabee wanted. When you put in such a Herculean effort into one state, you really can't replicate that in these other states. He's only got 7 days to visit New Hampshire, and even though it has fewer counties, you just can't spend 100 days there and doing such a thing. I jokingly had tweeted earlier today that to replicate his Iowa effort to maintain his momentum, he will spend the next 1,050 days campaigning in the Super Tuesday states. Of course, he doesn't have that much time. So we should not draw too much from the power of retail campaigning. It can't work anywhere, certainly not in a national campaign. But hey, you know what? Rick Santorum deserves his shining moment in the sun, and this is he sure as heck earned this one. So good for you, Senator. If you thought last week was fun, guess what comes this week? Welcome to the near front runner status. You will now be receiving all kinds of flack. Hope you enjoyed last night, because it gets a whole lot harder from here on out.
Yeah, as Rick Santorum meet Mitt Romney's super PAC friends. That's what's going to be happening, probably more in South Carolina than New Hampshire. I don't know that Santorum's going to be making a huge push there, but after the results in Iowa, who knows? And as you mentioned, Jim, just a few more handshakes along the way might have done the trick. Had a quarter of the people who still voted for Herman Cain, for example, gone to Santorum, he would have been the winner. But very interesting that not only did he make a surge, as just about every candidate in this race has at one point or another, but there's a longing, at least in Iowa, and I think among Republicans and conservatives in general, for a conservative nominee. And Mitt Romney still has to do a lot of convincing if he wants to make the case that he is that person. So fortunately for him, he's got the money and the time to do it. On to martini number two. And we pretty much saw a repeat of 2008, not only in terms of a very conservative candidate who doesn't get a lot of backing from people who follow the race as far as someone has a real chance to win the nomination. But we also saw, once again, almost the identical turnout from 2008, which was dwarfed by the Democrats that year, and certainly not last night, since Obama was the only one on the ballot. But still, once again, looking at a pretty small sliver of a relatively small state having a huge impact here.
Yeah, my nominee for the bad martini of today is to say that, look, yes, technically Republicans set a record with 123,000 people voting in the caucuses last night, but let's not, break out the party hats over that, because, A, there is no Democratic contest on the other side. And we saw a bunch of independents come in, and I believe, the entrance polls had the independents in the neighborhood of 27%. Not surprising to me, and probably not surprising to a lot of listeners, a lot of these people supported Ron Paul, disproportionately high number of independents. And, I'm extrapolating a bit here, but, a lot of Ron Paul supporters are not really Republicans as we traditionally think of them. A lot of Ron Paul supporters don't have a second choice in this contest. They like Ron Paul, and they more or less hate all of the other Republican options. So I really think you can argue these folks are not really Republicans as we know them. They are driven by anti-war views. And I just have this feeling that that the Republican nominee should be selected by Republicans. And if you took out all of the independent votes, it would look like a different race. And, you know, Ron Paul would not nearly have done as well as the, you know, overall very strong third place that he did. And some other folks who were further behind, like Gingrich and Perry and Bachman, may not look like they're doing quite so bad. So I'm frustrated with that factor. And also, I kind of figured that, you know, look, we, you know, listeners of this program know, Greg, that you and I think Obama's doing a terrible job in the presidency. If 3.5 years of unemployment in the neighborhood of 9% doesn't get people to come out on a winter's night to vote for a Republican, I don't know what's going to. I kind of figured, you know, that there were some liberals were snickering about the lack of upsurge in Republican enthusiasm. And I think they have something of a point that you would have figured that, you know, even if people were frustrated with the field in 2008, this is, you know, people would have a motivation to get, you know, to pick the guy who they want to put up against Obama in 2012. And that did not turn out in exceptional numbers last night. And I find that a little bit worrisome. We'll see what happens in New Hampshire. We'll see what happens in South Carolina and some of these other states. But if I want to see bigger turnout amongst Republicans, last night I did not get to see what I wanted to see.
I think Ron Paul, even though he was obviously a strong third, is a little bit of a disappointment, perhaps even a major disappointment, given the vaunted organization that he supposedly had. And as you mentioned, a big chunk of his support was coming from independents, which obviously the Republicans will need. I also think whoever the nominee is, assuming it's not Paul, will need to do some sort of fence mending. Not necessarily sure they were ever on our side of the fence, a lot of those folks, but doing everything they can to make sure that they do support the Republican nominee in the end, if it's not Ron Paul. So, but as mentioned, Iowa's become the graveyard of Republican candidates this year. As you mentioned in the Jolt today, Tim Pawlenty got out the night of the straw poll, or maybe the day after. And last night and this morning, we've basically found out that two more are essentially getting ready to get out of the race. Here's Texas Governor Rick Perry.
But with the voters' decision tonight in Iowa, I've decided to return to Texas, assess the results of tonight's caucus, determine whether there is a path forward for myself in this race.
So Jim, Rick Perry was supposed to go to South Carolina today. Obviously, he's not doing that. Michelle Bachman was supposed to be going to South Carolina today. Instead, she made this announcement.
And so last night, the people of Iowa spoke with a very clear voice. And so I have decided to stand aside.
So Iowa's claimed at least three presidential contenders between the straw poll and the actual caucuses. Jim, once again, the field thinning, and once again, done so by a relatively tiny portion of the population.
Yeah, it's kind of worth interesting that when you hear a candidate talk about suspending their campaign, I'd have to look back and see if anyone has ever come back from suspending their campaign. It turns out into a declaration that they are, you know, ending their campaign. That you don't really see a lot of campaigns go on hiatus for a few weeks and then come back with new vigor. Now, I myself have you know, been beating the drum about Iowa for a while. There are a bunch of Bachman and Perry supporters out there who are really disappointed this morning, who probably would have really liked to have a chance to vote for their guy. And I'm kind of really of the two, it's more surprising by Perry. You would have figured he would have wanted to hung around for the first southern state, South Carolina, at least just see how you do there. Having said that, fifth place, 10%, is really not what he was hoping for. There had been some buzz that there was some, you know, movement in his direction, that there was enthusiasm on his side. Some people were even talking about him finishing third, and, you know, that did not come to pass. As for Bachman, you know, first of all, I want to point out no one should ever cite the Ames straw poll again. And if they do sometime in the next 4 to 8 years, hurl rotten fruit at them, please. This is a, you know, they you know, for those of us who were kind of, at least I was at the very least intrigued by Tim Pawlenty. I you know, the beginning of my Iowa grudge came when those Ames straw poll voters knocked him out. And then they drop her like seventh period Spanish class to, you know, as you know, a couple months later. During much of the night, there was some speculation that she might not get as many votes in the actual caucus as she did in the straw poll. Now, she ended up clearing that threshold, but she's at 5%, and that's only 4% more than Huntsman. And Greg, you know, that's only 5% more than you and I, and we didn't even run. Very disappointing for her. I can't say that, like, dropping out now is crazy, But on the other hand, there are, you know, 99% of Americans still have not cast any vote, you know, have not had an opportunity to cast any votes in this contest. And so there's going to be quite a bit of grumbling over the field being narrowed so significantly after this. But this is what it is. Just one more reason to tout the Garrity plan to revise the primaries between now and 2016 or 2020.
Well, one thing you can say in favor of Bachman and Perry is that they're actually living up to the fiscal credentials that they tout. Bachman is essentially out of money, and while Perry raised a lot right in the beginning, he went through it, and they're getting out when they're out of money, unlike Hillary Clinton, who will be in debt for her 2008 campaign
spending.
For the rest
of
her life.
Yeah, I suppose so. I suppose so. I just kind of hope that, you know, when he announced he was suspending his campaign, I really think Rick Perry was entitled to quote Davy Crockett and say, look, all of you can go to hell, and I will go to Texas. And, he was very gracious in his remarks last night, and, you know, that probably is taking the high road is always a good thing. But, you know, if he wanted to say to hell with all of you, I don't think too many of his supporters would have minded that. I think, in my humble opinion, I think Iowa has it coming.
And Jim Garrity's nomination as Hawkeye of the Year award will probably not end up
winning. You know, I'm literally banned from entering the state. At the state line, they check IDs and say, I'm sorry, Mr. Garrity, you have to turn back.
He can reapply, I guess, in 4 years. Jim, on to New Hampshire. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.